Let's get back into something really important here. Like I said last week, the Lord opened my understanding to some of this stuff about God's number one rule, which is John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, that sounds so simple, those seven words, but believe me when I tell you, this thing is complicated. And I thought that loving him was a matter of loving him with all my heart and soul and strength and mind. Well, I need more love. Give me more love so I can love you more. That's what I'm thinking. And we have a tendency to think in terms of, well, God, I want to give you more money, so the only way I can do that is for you to give it to me first. Right? I mean, doesn't that make sense? Not so. The one that put in the two mites gave more than all the other guys. So you want to give more to God? Just give more to God. I mean, if you want to do that, I'm not saying you need to do that. You just do whatever the Lord puts on your heart. As a man purposeth in his heart, you know, so let him give. And if you don't give it for that reason, then you're not giving it because you want to. And there goes the cheerful giver right out the window. Gone. I mean, I remember us giving back there at Central Baptist Church and putting in our whole paycheck. You know how much joy I felt out of that? Nothing. I just felt like, well, at least I don't feel guilty when they start talking about, did you give it all Sunday? Did you trade places with God? I didn't have that sense of guilt. You know, the sense of guilt that you might feel when you're feeling so miserable about coming to church. You're just absolutely worn out and hurting all over. And what will the people think? Well, then I just don't love God enough, you know. And so then you come and you go back home and the only sensation you get is, well, I did what I was supposed to do. I did my duty. How come the Lord doesn't spend more time dealing with us? How come the Holy Spirit doesn't deal with us more about the reality of Himself? How come He doesn't magnify Himself more in our eyes? Maybe it's because our attention's not on the right thing. Being here is not the issue. He's the issue. You say, well, every once in a while I hear something gives me a blessing. Well, how does giving you a blessing have you grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How is that growing in grace just because you felt better because you got happy and you got a little bit of joy? How different are you now than you were a month ago? Last week? Yesterday? I mean, do you still see God in His creation? Does it still thrill your soul? Man, how many times have you been by yourself driving around and you get literally tears in your eyes with the fellowship that you have with Him over what He's made and the genius behind how all this stuff works? I say, well, I got so much other stuff. Exactly. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things distract us from the reality that we live in. And if we're going to have our heart and mind set on Him, it's going to be because something else is going on. Anyway, one more time, I'm going to try to give you a reason why. You say, why are you putting so much time into that? I think it's because the Lord had to drive home to me and maybe to some other you that there's a reason to actually do something about this. The first and great commandment. Actually put some effort in on our part. Maybe develop some desire, because if you don't have that, nothing's going to change. Now, if you love me, keep my commandments is like a licensed driver. Then you obey the laws. If you got a license to drive, then obey the laws. What do you think somebody without a license is concerned about out there? I mean, you know how many people are driving around with suspended licenses? You betcha. What's their number one concern? Exactly. You think they care about obeying those laws? No. I mean, they already broke the first rule, so the rest of them don't make any difference. It's like the guy worried about obeying the rules in Monopoly when he's already come there to cheat. And he brought a pocket full of Monopoly money from another game. He's not worried about the rules anymore. Only thing he's worried about is getting caught and getting away with quote-unquote winning to make himself feel good in the eyes of the other people. You don't feel good about yourself. That's what's going on. You think that guy would be a courteous driver?
Why would he be courteous?
The only reason that he's going to obey any laws is to keep from getting caught. That's the only thing. An illegal operator only worries about what other people see. Look on the outward appearance. That's all he's worried about. Do you think he cares whether everybody knows whether or not he's got a license? That's the furthest thing from his mind. Why? Nobody knows. They're not worried about having a license. They're only worried about getting caught. Do you see any parallel there in Christianity? Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. It's what's on the inside. It's what nobody else knows about that really matters to him. The concern in Christianity is not about loving God. It's about keeping the commandments that can be seen as a violation by others. That's exactly what it is. What do we worry about? What do we criticize in other people? When was the last time you criticized anybody for not loving God with all their heart, soul, and strength of mind? When was the last time you criticized anybody for not loving God enough to keep the other commandments? We don't do that. What we criticize is the stuff we can see. So-and-so's not here. So-and-so's out there living like a hypocrite. He's out there doing 85 miles an hour in a 35-mile zone, goes to our church, man. I'd be embarrassed to say Jack Butler was my friend driving like that. But that's what we are like. Christianity is the same way. We're not concerned about the most important thing in that book, and that's loving God. If you love me, keep my commandments is above everything else. So how come we're not doing more about it? There's a reason why this last week you didn't put any real effort into doing something about that scripture right there. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. And when I say do something about it, you're not going to do something about it so that I can watch it, I can observe it. What you're going to do about it has to be done between you and him. You can't do it so somebody else knows. I mean, you guys all think, oh, Brother Sheldon's a nice guy. Well, you don't know him like God knows him. I mean, we think the other people are good folks, don't we? Unless it's somebody we don't like, and then they can't do anything right. Our friends and loved ones, they can't do anything wrong, and the rest of them can't do anything right. That's not what this is about. What it's about is what's inside of each one of us on an individual level. You see how different this is from the stuff that we've heard for years and years from messages? I mean, we're talking about something that's really foreign to us all. We don't hear messages like that. I've never heard them. I've never heard anybody try to explain anything about how you accomplish loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. How do you do that? I mean, like I said before, I don't know how to start loving something I don't love. You can put all the effort you want into it, and you can't love it more. There's got to be something else going on. And whatever it is so obscure, nobody else seems to have gotten any of the understanding or the message about how to do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, there's got to be a way, God, to love you more. It has to be. Anyway, concern's not about loving God. It's about keeping the commandments. It can be seen as a violation. I mean, he says not to have any other gods before him. He says not to have any graven images. He says not to take his name in vain. You know, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, which is, you know, yesterday. Honor your father and your mother. Don't kill somebody. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. Now, look at those comparisons. What do you think the number one law in driving is? What do you think of first when you think of somebody breaking the law? I mean, if you're anything like me, it's speeding. I mean, that's what I think of first. There may be some people up in New York that might think of parking legally because they got 2,500 parking tickets. I don't know. But I think of speeding as the number one thing. I mean, you know, they go racing up and down my little old residential road, school buses, you know, doing 50, and other people doing above that in a 30-mile-an-hour zone, you know, in a curvy up and down hill. It's like, wow. At least Brother Jack's got a nice bend right there by his house. Brother Sheldon's got two of them within half a block of his place or less. They can't get up much speed. Man, from Kim Strand Road to the end of our road is a half mile down there. You know how fast you can go in a half mile? You can get moving. And if you're late to work, that's exactly what they do. You get out there at the right time, they're flying. So I think of speeding is the main thing in driving. What do you think the number one commandment is in the minds of Christians? Well, you know what it is. The first thing, and the thing that's talked about so much and has been kind of thrown by the wayside with all the rest of them nowadays. But it's adultery. That's the big one, man. You break that one, boy, you really open for criticism now. I mean, they have pretty much just kissed it all off. Adultery doesn't mean anything anymore. Fornication doesn't mean anything. I mean, they can go out and do anything they want and still come down to the altar in a white dress and everybody just pat them on the back and say, well, man, that's okay. We're all going to support you, you know. They didn't used to be that way. I mean, that was actually something that was highly criticized. Do you think it makes that much difference to me? Not really. I'm not going to judge them. You know, why judgest thou thy brother? Why settest not thy brother? To his own master he stands and falls. That's not the big issue. Critical of some of that stuff. I mean, do you criticize other people? Are we criticize other people? We criticize other people because they're doing something we're not doing. We do it to make ourselves feel good. That's why we do it. And we don't criticize them for the things that we do wrong. We only criticize them for the stuff they're doing that we're not doing. And the reason there's very few of these messages has connection right to that right there. What's the second thing? What do you think the second law would be? The next thing you'd think of? I mean, speed kills, right? So does running red lights. I mean, that probably is the next one right there. Not stopping when you're supposed to stop. What do you think the one is for the commandments? Thou shalt not kill. I mean, you ever killed anybody, folks? I didn't commit adultery. Since I got saved. I didn't fornicate since I got saved. I haven't killed anybody ever. And then number three would probably be yield the right of way. Don't you hate it when somebody pulls out in front of you and you got to hit the brakes to keep from slamming into the back end of them? Don't you hate it when you come down 9 mile road and here they are, yield right away? It doesn't say merging traffic. It says yield. They come whipping across there all the way over to Walmart, turn lane. I mean, constantly doing that stuff. Doesn't that frustrate you when they don't yield the right away? Yeah. What about in Christianity? Well, we think about somebody that's a liar, boy. That's pretty bad, that is. We criticize the stuff that offends us. Specific comparison. What about what offends the other people? When you do some of these things, how do you feel? What happens inside of you when you pull out in front of somebody and then they're right on the bumper, you know? It's like, oh, man, I didn't see that. Or you cut out in front of somebody and you didn't see them coming. They got to slam on the brakes. Or somebody's out there, well, probably never happens hardly anymore, but somebody out there in the yard saying, slow down, slow down. Do you criticize yourself for that stuff? Or do you just feel embarrassed? Interesting, isn't it? We can be critical of others, but we cannot be critical of ourselves. That's because we don't have a proper perspective of these things. You ever been critical about yourself in anything? I mean, seriously, criticize yourself. Why don't you think there's very many messages on coveting? I mean, do you covet anything? You know what? I'll bet you, if you really got down to the brass tacks in this situation, that coveting is probably violated more than any other commandments, especially in this day and time. I mean, we see stuff constantly on television. We see stuff constantly in billboards and advertisements that are designed to make us want something we don't have. I mean, people get frustrated with stuff just because they want something else. They get into debt because they're not satisfied. They want more. And as soon as somebody finds a way to get it, they just go after it. You don't hear messages on coveting. I mean, if you do, it'd be a really rare message. It'd only be because some preacher's preaching on the Ten Commandments. But you're not going to hear a message on coveting. You know how many preachers wish they had as many people as the other preacher they just talked to? You know how many preachers wish they could preach and have the whole congregation moved and have the altars filled? You know how many singers get up there and sing and wish everybody would pat them on the back saying, what a great message and song. You see, we covet more than just the stuff we want ourselves. What else? What about name of the Lord thy God in vain? I mean, I saw some faces the other day when I start talking about text messaging to somebody, OMG. Oh. We got to the point where we're indifferent about this stuff. Do you think I would sit still and let somebody start taking the name of my wife in vain? You think I'd enjoy that? Do you think I'd just put up with it and become indifferent about it? You start talking about some things that you love and people you love, you watch how you respond. I used to respond to that. You know, somebody say GD this or GD that, it would offend me because I care about him. Does it still offend you? Or are you one of those that's punching in OMG? It's pretty sad, isn't it? What's wrong? We don't love him enough. He's not real to us. He's abstract to us. We're not offended because we don't care. That's what's wrong with us. It's not what's wrong with them putting in OMG. That's what's wrong with us. If it's not making a difference to you, you know, I hate to say it, man, you have gotten cold in your compassion and love for him. We've grown cold, not warm. We've grown smaller, not larger. What about hating your brother? How many messages did you hear on hating your brother and you are a murderer in your heart? You hear many messages on that? Man, if you preach that stuff in most churches, you'd have a church split. Because half of them hating the other half would say, you're preaching against me. You'd have a whole bunch of them just leave. You know, you're preaching right at me. And both people that hated each other end up leaving. Guilty conscience, man. He said, he's without sin. Let him first cast a stone at her. And they started leaving one by one. That's what would happen. You start preaching on this stuff, you're going to leave. The reason we don't hear that stuff is because we're concerned about what we like and what we want. Preachers don't preach the entire Word of God because they're more concerned with how many people come to hear them than they are with the truth of the Word of God. And they're not going to do anything to offend those people because they're afraid they will lose them. And they justify it by saying, well, I'd rather have them here hearing the Word of God than to run them off. Oh, really? The Lord is sure worried about that, you generation of vipers. Who's warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? He was really worried, wasn't he? I'll offend so many. There's a difference between offending them with the liberty that God's given you and offending them with the truth. We got out here in 1978. We lived in a little travel trailer up here in Trailer Park. And had a young boy come to me who was the son of the man up there, and you might know who he is. I'm not going to call any names. But he came to me and he started criticizing street preachers. You ever criticize a street preacher? Yeah. I've preached on the street a bunch of times, Palo Fox, downtown. Say, what do you do that for? Because I was supposed to. I never got anything out of it, not one time, man. I mean, it was like, I did what I was supposed to do. I at least tried to put some message together so that anybody hearing it, you know, might make them think a little bit. I mean, one of the things I'd say is, in God we trust. That's on your money, but you don't trust God. You trust the money more than you trust God. You know, make them think. Give them something about there. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, for he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't believe in standing out there telling them they're going to hell. You know why? Most of them already know, and most of them don't care. They don't care. And you get out there and say, you're filthy, filthy, filthy. What have you accomplished there? Not much. Have you ever criticized street preachers? Yeah. Well, this kid came to me criticizing him, and I could tell from the way he was talking. He was just repeating what his dad had said. Well, how do I straighten that mess out, Lord? I mean, if I criticize what his dad said, where does that leave me? I can't do that. So I offer up one of those real quick prayers, you know. Man, Lord, help. Before he was done talking, the Lord gave me the answer. And I said to him, called him by name, and I said, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. I said, as a saved man, you shouldn't object to the truth no matter what form it comes in. That's right. You know what's going on in America today and the rest of the world? We're offended by the truth. We are offended by the truth. And when you get down to what we're talking about here, it has to do with some serious truth that has been neglected. It's been overlooked. And the reason why is because we don't want to have to do anything. We just want to come and sing and give and listen and go home and eat and come back the next time and go home and come back the next time and go home and come back the next time and do nothing about what God wants us to do something about. We like others to pray for us. Do we pray for them as much as we want them to pray for us? That's tough, isn't it? How are we changing inside? What's the difference inside? Why can't we criticize others? What about adultery? You hear many messages on adultery? There's probably still some churches preaching on adultery. You know what they don't preach on? He that looketh on a woman to lust after has committed adultery with her already in his heart. You ain't going to hear that stuff. How come? Because that's the stuff that offends us. That's the stuff that we're guilty of. How's a preacher going to get up there and preach on something that wounds himself? I mean, I've heard preachers preach against sex and sex and sex and sex, and they got the problem is sex. But they're not preaching about their specific sins. They're just preaching about the general topic. We love to criticize others. You take somebody that stops smoking, man, he starts criticizing everybody else that still is. It's the truth. What I'm talking about is not to hurt anybody. It's the truth. But we avoid the truth. We avoid it because the truth hurts sometimes. Unless it's something we're okay on. You know how many of those commandments we're okay on? Zero. If you offended in one, you've offended in all. You can't claim any of them. Well, I haven't killed anybody physically. I don't have any graven images. Maybe your standards are lower than God's. You have any idea what today would be considered a graven image? They say, idolatry is anything that gets higher than God. Well, if that's the case, man, how many people have money as an idol? How many have work as an idol? How many have success as an idol? How many have possessions as an idol? My goodness, man, we're way out there. How come there's not any messages on, if you love me, keep my commandments? It's because we're about ourselves. That's why. We are living in the last days. And it says, in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Isn't that interesting? It's not that our attention's on ourselves. It's the stuff we're supposed to have for God is misplaced on us. And that's part of this key to the whole deal. We're lovers of our own selves. So guess what? If your affection's on yourself, who are you going to take care of? I mean, a husband loves his wife. Let's say I love my wife like I do. And when I first got married, I loved her. I just didn't know how much. Till she got in the hospital, I didn't know how much. I mean, it was just like a big shock to me. It's like, wow. I wonder how much other stuff in our life we don't really feel that sense of love for it unless it got taken away or almost taken away. And we'd say, wow, I didn't know I loved that much. I mean, I thought it was just stuff. I remember a story about a guy that had an apple orchard, and when that guy was dying, he had a hard time with the kids coming to stealing his apples, and he was dying. One of the last things he said before he died was, you boys, get out of those apple trees. That's where his affections were, man. That's where his heart was, to the point where, you know, he carried it to almost the very last thing in his life. Anyway, we're lovers of our own self. We're not going to do anything about that until we've got a reason to change. We're going to stay just exactly like we are. And after today, Lord willing, we get on into what love actually is and how it works and how this thing between loving Him and loving these other things and loving ourselves actually work. If you don't have enough reason to do something about it, you're going to be bored to death. You're going to be just sitting here, I don't care. That's like telling a guy in a driving class because he got caught with a suspended license, telling him about all the rules of the road when he still doesn't have a license and he won't have one for another 5 years. But if he goes to the class, they'll cut his fine down or cut his sentence down. So he goes to the class. He don't care. I mean, he just sit there and go to sleep in the class, you know, while they're talking about driving, you know, and yielding and stop signs and buckling kids in the seat belts. Be just like, I don't care. Just here because I have to be here. We know we should obey traffic laws. Why? Because you get a ticket. Your insurance goes up. You get delays. I mean, how many times have you ever thought about speeding and thinking, wow, if I get caught, I'm going to waste a whole lot more time getting a ticket than what I'm saving by speeding. What about property damage or injury? You ever thought about the other guy? I mean, seriously, have you ever thought about the other guy? That's why we don't think about God. Because our attention, our focus is right here all the time. It's about me, myself, and I. I get embarrassed, but I'm not critical. I don't think about what might happen to him. I had a lady that just moved out of trailer park. She was a granny nanny. 19-year-old kid was pulling out into some lanes of traffic, and the first lane of traffic that was pretty solid, they left a space for him to get into the far lane. So he did the same thing my son did in front of Kmart. He pulled through that lane of traffic, and here come one, bam, nailed her right in the side, boy. Smashed her car, totaled it out, busted up her knee and everything. She's moved out now and moved in with her daughter and son-in-law up there. And I said something to him the other day when he was moving. I said, boy, this is something that'd be nice, you know, have your mother-in-law living with you. He goes, yeah, that's on my bucket list, to have her living in my living room. I said, isn't it amazing what a 19-year-old kid, how many lives he can affect and the chain reaction? We don't think of the other guy. We're just thinking about ourselves. What happens to us matters. What happens to them? You know, it's kind of like, and if they cut you off, or if they accidentally hit you by accident, boy, you're frustrated. They get out, start punching each other out, offending me, you know. It's all about me. Anyway, if we don't have enough reason to obey, the Florida Highway Patrol will give us one. Right? What about a reason to obey God's commandments? That's exactly the way people think about God's commandments. They think in terms of, I should be doing this. Boy, I'm doing this over here, and I know I shouldn't be doing this over here. And boy, oh boy, I mean, he's going to get me. You think he's going to make you love him? You think God's coming after you if you don't love him? What do you think he's going to do about it? What do you think your parents did about it when you were supposed to love them and you didn't? What'd they do about it? That's the same thing God's going to do about it. He's going to tell you in 7 short words and then leave it up to you. If you love me, keep my commandments. Or he's going to tell you, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and all thy strength and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And he's going to leave it at that. He's not going to come along, and if you don't love him, he's going to make you love him. He's not going to do it. Because love is something you can't force. I can't be forced to love anything. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. We're going to love him because we want to. And you have to have a want to. You have to have a will to do something before he'll respond to you. And it's got to be for the right reason. It can't be so that you feel a sense of self-righteousness. It can't be so that you don't get caught at the judgment. It's got to be because you desire his pleasure above your own. That's pretty weird. Now, we've talked a lot about the right way to obey. Now we're going to start looking at why and how and so forth. And we'll wrap this up with this. What is love? It's a strong attachment, a bond, a connection. So if you got shallow love, you got a shallow attachment, bond, or connection. Why don't we love? We love because we don't love. Love is the reason to love. Now you're thoroughly confused. If you love me, keep my commandments. We don't love because we don't love. So if you don't love because you don't love, what can you possibly do about this? And that's where we're going to pick it up next week. And there are answers to this. I mean, I got into this and started begging God for about 6 weeks to know how to love Him more. And last Sunday morning, He said, okay, there it is. What are you going to do about that? I'm going to respond to you, God. I want to accomplish this. I was looking this morning at the calendar. Pentecost, 27th the next month. Interestingly enough, the 27th the next month is a Sunday. I like that. You know why? Because that's the first day of the week, and the Holy Spirit showed up on the first day of the week. Maybe He'll go out the same day. They say, well, you don't still believe that, do you? I believe He can come back today. And He said, watch. Watch ye therefore. I mean, can't you imagine what would happen if the Lord comes back and takes these Christians out of here? Financially, what do you think would happen to the world? Chaotic collapse, man. I mean, they took out 2,500 in the World Trade Center, and man, that was a disaster. What do you think would happen if all of a sudden people who owed all that money and stuff were just gone? And here's, you talk about a mess in the housing market. Now we got all these extra houses and cars and everything else and all this stuff, and the price of everything just collapses, man. What a mess, man. Anyway. This issue of loving God because He wants us to love Him, because He desires our affection, is a lot more important than whether or not you hate your brother. Because if you kept that commandment and didn't keep the first one, it don't matter. It don't matter if you keep the speed limit, if you're driving without a license, it don't matter. You're not a legal driver, so the rest of it don't matter. If you're cheating at a game, it don't matter if you keep all the rules. If you're cheating, you're cheating, and you're not even in the game. Because if you don't win fair, you don't win at all. Let's close in prayer.